Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. We're in a series that Brad has put together where we've been talking about the three omnis as part of the series No One Like Our God. So omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Right, exactly. So Brad asked me to share omnipresent with you. And as I know many of us in here, and you'll know this is more like a journey of what I learned when I got the assignment than it is a fully structured preach, if you will. So I'll tell you what I found when Brad shared the idea of talking about omnipresent. Brad shared a book, Jen Wilkin, I think is her name, and she addresses this along with other elements of the nature of God. And so I looked at it, and she started off with a really interesting point. And she talks about this location in the Four Corners. Has anybody been there in the States, the Four Corners? All right, my overachieving wife is one of them. That's good, okay. And in the corner of Utah, Colorado, and Arizona, New Mexico, it's where there are the perfect four corners. And what happens there, there's a monument there. And at that monument is this disc where you can stand and be in the four different states at the same time. And people will often take pictures of themselves with their loved ones to show that they're actually stepping into these different states, right? A little bit far off from God's omnipresence, but nonetheless, it's us trying to be in a couple of places at the same time. When I was a kid, I had an older brother. He was 6 years older. He still is 6 years older than I am. And he reminds me. And he had an album of a comedy album. This was decades ago. And the title of the comedy album was, How Can You Be in Two Places at the Same Time When You Aren't Anywhere at All? And I thought, wow, this is the 60s, by the way, okay, right? So there's a lot going on in the 60s. But this notion of being in multiple places at the same time is fascinating for us and always has been. It's not terribly fascinating for God because he does it just as a matter of his character. But so we go to monuments like this at the Four Corners where we can stand there in multiple states. And we even do things like this, which says, hey, take a look, I can be in four states at the same time and do a backflip, right? Compared to God's omnipresence, this kind of falls a little short, but nonetheless, it's pretty exciting. You know, there are other ways that we try to transcend time and space, and I'm sure some of you recognize, many of us recognize this, whether it be for business or whether it be for our families and trying to keep in touch, especially during the pandemic. We try to be in lots of different places at the same time, and in fact, I've said to myself, well, it's pretty convenient that I can sit here and I can sort of talk to my clients in Chicago and I can talk to my clients in Massachusetts. Isn't it great? But the truth of the matter is that it is a chore to try to be in multiple places at the same time. Yet, we keep inventing technologies where, have you seen these commercials, where I'm doing all kinds of things and my granddad's watching me and all that. So this whole notion of us trying to transcend time and place is very appealing, but we really fail compared to God's omnipresence. So here's us on the right doing things like that, and on the left, what does God do in his expressions of omnipresence? Shows up as a burning bush, the bush doesn't get consumed, talks to people from clouds, parts seas. I mean, the guy does like a few things better than we do, right? So we kind of strain and struggle. God does not strain and struggle in expressing his omnipresence, his omniscience, and his omnipotence. So we pale compared to God's omnipresent. So we serve an omnipresent God. That is his nature. He is everywhere at all times. Now, if you do what I did, as you know, you go to the font of all knowledge, which is Google, right? And you start searching it. And as I studied it, there are two components to the omnipresent God. So let's do sort of a little bit of the structure of it. And the first is the omnipresent God is about transcendence. And that is, he is not us. He is exalted over us, he is not us. And it's an important element in omnipresent God is that he is above us, he doesn't think like us. His ways are not our ways, and we'll look at some scripture at that, on that in a minute. So that's the first component of it. You have to wrap your mind around the fact that you may be able to do backflips at the four corners, but he is well transcendent and exalted above us. The second is this notion of immanence, which is he's very present. He came and he walked on the earth in a man, Jesus. He is with us every day. So the two components of being an omnipresent God are, you have, as it's explained in theology, is that there is the transcendence of God, which is he's exalted over us, but yet he is very presence, and that's the immanence of it. If you look at scripture, Psalm 13 is often referred to when these concepts are discussed. And so let's read 4-9 here. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? So there's the transcendence part. And then it shifts to who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. So here's where the immanence starts to express itself in scripture. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. So in Psalm 13, if you get a chance, read 13, right? You always say, gosh, I should read the Bible more. Well, read Psalm 113, okay? And you'll see the expression of the omnipresent God in that psalm. It's really a great read, as all scripture is. If you want to go further, there's other evidence. Move forward to Psalm 139, 7-10. Where can I go from your spirit, right? So this is from man now looking up at this transcendence and immanence. Where can I go from your spirit? In other words, where can I hide? I can't hide. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast, right? So God's omnipresence. No matter where I go, I'm going to find you. And then Proverbs says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And that's the part where if you start reading people's commentary, it's like, ooh, the eyes of God are everywhere. They saw what you did yesterday in that place. And, you know, and it sort of goes in weird places. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And, you know, what I've always considered the greatest scripture, you know, you hear sports athletes who are extraordinary saying, like, I'm the best, I'm the one, Ellen and I watch the Mets all the time, and when Johan Santana threw the only no-hitter for the Mets, he was like saying, I'm a man, I'm a gamer, I'm a player. It's like everybody makes these claims. So God sort of transcends all of our claims, and here is his transcending claim. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So the great I am, that's omnipresence. He transcends all of us, yet he walks among us, he is among us every day in our lives. So, you know, God kind of lays it out and says, I'll tell you what, who I am, I am. So I did some research. These will be really helpful if anybody wants copies of these. When you search transcendence and immanence, you lose it pretty quickly, okay? Which is, so the one on the left starts to help you understand transcendence relative to referential versus other referential, self-referential. The box in the lower is the transcendence and immanence rectangle of opposition. That's pretty helpful, isn't it? Right? Meanwhile, God's looking down at somebody making these charts going, I am. On the upper right, it says there's the personal level, the middle level, and then there's the transpersonal level in transcendence. And this is good stuff, right? I mean, you right? We have spent a whole bunch of time on this one right here, right? And then there's the evangelical, the recovery, the apocalyptic, and the social justice dimensions, right? So, you know, the world has an incredible way of taking a very simple concept about God's nature and overanalyzing it. And I'll tell you, I'm the first one to overanalyze something. And it's easy to do that when you start studying these principles. Here's how I think we can think about it simply. I found this online. This was on a blog that a person who pursues her faith wrote. Put simply, transcendence is he exists apart from us and is not subject to the same limitations as us. Right? He doesn't have to do backflips at the four corners to be in four states. Right? He's everywhere at every moment simultaneously. And the immanence is he cares about the details of our life. We can experience his immediate friendship. And I thought that was a great expression of that, is God's presence. Remember in Proverbs, he's looking at us, right? He's looking at every single one of us, every man, everywhere we are, right? But really what it's about is God extending an opportunity of friendship with him and to be close to him and to have a deep relationship. So this, as opposed to this, is what transcendence and immanence is about, which are the two elements of an omnipresent God. I thought this was terrific. Nikki Gumbel, who is a pastor and wrote books and the like, great writings, said this about that friendship. It is only when we understand the transcendence of God that we see how amazing his immanence is and what a huge privilege it is to be able to enjoy God's intimate friendship. So Nikki Gumbel's point is, you gotta understand how all-powerful and transcendent God is before you can appreciate how extraordinary it is that God has made the overture to be among us, to listen to us, and to extend a hand of friendship to us. And I just thought that was a great summary of all that nonsense that was on all those charts is actually expressed by Nikki Gumbel in this statement. So you say, okay, well, God extends a hand of friendship, and so where does it manifest itself? How do I know God is omnipresent? Well, I'll tell you a story. That is a 2007 Audi A3 owned by our youngest son. And it breaks down a lot. And so recently, and he's at college, and the keys weren't working, and he kept, I don't know, if those of you who have kids, you get these like texts from your kids, why doesn't it do this? Why doesn't it do that? Why doesn't it do that? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? On and on and on. Anyway, so the keys weren't working, so why don't you try it again? Why don't you take the lead off the battery to reset the car? I don't want to electrocute myself. It's like, well, you can't electrocute yourself in a battery in a car. It's okay, right? Anyway, so he said, send us the other keys from home. Maybe it's the key. Like, why don't you go to the shop? And anyway, send us the keys. So we like FedEx the key. We're dutiful parents, right? So we send the keys, right, and all stuff. And so it wasn't working. So he said, so I sat in the 2007 Audi A3, and I said, all right, Lord, if you want to start this vehicle, start it. And he wasn't fleecing them. He just said, start it, right? He sticks the key in the dashboard, he turns the key, car starts right up, and what's on the radio? Christian music. It's like, Coop, do you listen to Christian music on the radio? No, Dad, I don't. So, if you want to know about the omnipresent God, he's not, just as the old cliche is, sort of Jesus sitting on the dashboard, he's actually in the dashboard of a 2007 in Rochester, New York, okay? That's pretty amazing, right? So anyway, he called me, or he texted me, he texted his mom, he got it, okay? He absolutely got it. And why? Because it was an overt and obvious expression of God's friendship and love for him. And he was filled with joy. I think we raised him right, so he knew where it came from, right? And he knew that that's just one of the many places that God is when you call for him, right? So we were happy that God reached out to him in that way and that he had that experience. That's all part of omnipresence, right? Where, in this case, it was super obvious. Like, just in case you didn't know who did it, I'm going to turn the radio on for you, okay? So anyway, and this car is, like, going to fall apart any minute, just so you know. Anyway. But, you know, when you look online, and maybe we ourselves ask this question, if he's omnipresent, if he's transcendent, but he's immanent, which means he's here, why doesn't he make himself obvious? Why doesn't he turn the car on and tune the radio for me every time I ask him to do that? You know, and then you hear, you've all heard preaches about God is not your cosmic bellhop and, you know, and all these things, right? He doesn't just do stuff for you, right? But as you look online and you read people talk about God's omnipresent character, people say, why isn't he around, right? So I kind of dug into that a little bit further. And so I found something on Blue Letter Bible. Now, in our Bible study, we use Blue Letter Bible because they do a really nice job of unpacking sort of every verse sometimes, right? And so this guy pronounces that there were actually, these were the times that God presented himself to people. I was like, ooh, wow, this is like, oh, I got this preach done way faster than I thought I was going to get it done, right? So I look at it, and in this Blue Letter Bible thing, he goes, okay, basically God appears to man, four angels, one bush, three men. Okay, that's what it is. And I was like, oh, this is tight. This is going to be a tight slide, right? So I look at it, and it's, you know, four angels, Hagar, Abraham and Sarah, Abraham, Jacob, and, you know, one bush with Moses, three men, Gideon, Samson's parents, you know, the fiery furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and all that. And I was like, this is great. And then he says, of course, you know, and God was the Savior that walked the, Jesus was the Savior that walked the world. Okay, great. And then I was like, this is what my kids taught me to say. Like, wait, what? I never knew that expression until my kids talk about it. Wait, what? Which means, like, I don't understand what's going on. Because this can't possibly be the only array of God's omnipresence manifesting for man. It can't be. It just can't be, right? Even though this is a pretty tight preach this guy wrote. So then I go search on Open Bible, God reveals himself to us, and this goes on forever. By the way, I was not searching for a mortgage for $400,000 at an APR of 2002. I was not doing that. What that shows you is, I don't know if anybody else does, but how easy it is to get distracted on the internet when you're looking for something serious, right? So anyway, we're not moving, Ellen. That's not what that is, okay? But if you look on Open Bible and you search, okay, when did God reveal himself to us? Many, 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 many more times than the four angels, you know, one bush, three men, whatever. It's just, it's God is omnipresent and reveals himself on an ongoing basis to us. But the question remains, why doesn't God make himself obvious, or does he make himself obvious? I think it maybe it's on us as far as how obviously. Now, who said this? Jesus, exactly. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, right? Which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus says these words and is feeling as if God, his Father, is not around him, right? So it's easy for us to feel like, although we serve an omnipresent God, that he's not around, right? Now, there are all kinds of reasons why Jesus said this, and he was directing us to a psalm, and this is the whole story behind it, but think about it. If Jesus spoke these words, why? It's not unusual for us to wonder where God is in our lives sometimes. Yep. I was doing a little bit more research, and I found myself on a blog. She writes really great stuff. This was on crosswalk.com. And it was explained this way at the end. God reveals himself, except when he doesn't. And I was like, this is absolutely no help to me at all. Okay. But you know what it means? It means that God reveals himself in the manner that he chooses at the right time, in the perfect way, in the way we need it at that moment, right? So we cannot assume that God is going to be obvious in our terms in his omnipresence. We just can't assume that. In Isaiah, we get an answer as to why it is that God doesn't make himself as obvious as maybe we'd like him to, because in Isaiah, scripture says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Very clear, I am operating at a transcendent level, which means my ways are not like your ways, yet I am with you all the time. That's really hard for us to understand, which is we like things our way, right? We like things to be manifest in the way we like them to be manifest. Cooper didn't stick the key in the car, turn it, and would really not have been as excited if it started 2 weeks later, right? Because we want it the way we want it. But God says, hey, keep in mind, We are not the same. My ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. And that's the transcendence in omnipresence. So I'm trying to sort this out and figure out why there are so many references online about, yeah, God is omnipresent, but where the heck is he? And so I think I figured it out. God is actually way more obvious than we think he is. The issue is, we're a little oblivious. And I don't mean that as an indictment of anybody except myself, which is there are so many times when God is manifest in a fairly obvious way in my life, and I'm oblivious to it. And largely it's because I haven't taken the time to see him in the situation that I'm in. Whether I'm afraid of something, whether I'm too deeply focused on something else and not him, whatever it may be, it generally is I'm oblivious to God's obviousness. And this was fairly eye-opening for me, because intellectually I understand it, but when I had to search my own soul and think about it, it was pretty clear to me. And I didn't need to search openbible.com to see all of the places that God manifests himself to see where he did, because I can just search my own life and actually see it, if I could come to grips with it. So there was a pastor, and there are four items in here that I want to share. There's a pastor in St. Paul who explained why this may be the case. His name is Greg Boyd, and again, he's in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he said, there are four reasons why we sometimes don't feel that God is obvious in our lives. And I just thought I'd share them with you. There are no answers to it, but I think it's good food for thought. Of the four, the first one is, the impression that stupendous events have on us is rarely permanent. And it's really a great point, which is when something either rocks your world or something extraordinarily amazing happens, let's do the first one, which is something rocks your world, like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to change my life. We've had plenty of things in our lives where it has rocked us or has been profound. The car starting for our son, right? That wears off as time goes on. It just does. It just does. So when something happens in our life that's stupendous, you know the old expression, sort of time heals all, right? Haven't we heard that? We've even said that to people, time heals all. But you know what that means too is time erases the impact of the thing that happened that I was most focused on at that point in time, right? So this pastor points out, it's not a surprise that we sometimes lose the sense of God's presence, because if he's done something stupendous in our lives, that will fade away over time, right? And our answer to that is, well, okay, we'll pony up something stupendous again, right? Well, that's not the answer, right? So, but that was his first one. I thought that was a really good point. The second point was, there's almost nothing that you can't explain more than one way, right? So we have this, Ellen and I, my wife and I have this thing where, like, someone will buy a property, you know, in our neighborhood, and she'll go, well, I think they're going to knock down and build a house. And then I go, well, or they're going to wait and buy the property next door, and then they're going to combine the two houses. And then she'll go, well, or they're going to build that property and flip it and use it as an income property. And then I'll go, or, right, okay, so here's the evidence we have in that situation is somebody bought a house in our neighborhood, right? And there's like, we've come up with six explanations about what's actually happening, right? These are the lives that we lead today when we see something happen. We see some disaster happen in the news, and we immediately begin to interpret what happened in that disaster, right? Well, this is how it happened. That's what happened. This is what, and what Greg Boyd is saying here is that if God makes himself obvious to us, we have the capacity to explain it away in many different ways, right? Now, if I told someone about the story about our son and the car, I could imagine that there were some who said, well, you know, it could be that by resting the key, the battery, well, you know how this goes, right? Which is, well, it could actually be the fact that, was it warmer that day? If it was warmer that day, then perhaps that, Oh, and I bet his girlfriend was the one who tuned into the Christian radio station that went on. And it's like, you know how this goes, right? Everything in life, there is almost nothing that can't be explained many different ways. So what does that do is that opens the door to take God's obvious actions and presence in our lives and explain them away, right? The third is divine things are not as clear because our world is caught in spiritual crossfire. You know, what does Scripture tell us? I had to fight principalities to get to you. You know, there's all kinds of evidence in Scripture that there are forces and there are spiritual fights that are taking place above us all the time, constantly, right? Well, wouldn't that kind of tune out some of the activity that God's doing? Because there is spiritual warfare around us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So that makes it more difficult for us to see God obviously in our lives. And the fourth was, and I love this, even God's direct approach does seem to work, it doesn't. Even when his approach seems to work, it doesn't. Okay? Look through the story of Israel, right? I'm going to part the sea, I'm going to do all kinds of stuff. Pretty direct stuff, okay, in the Bible, right? Like, really direct stuff. Like, look what I did, right? Cloud. Look, right? What? And yet, it was the most direct approach, and it didn't last forever. It remains in Scripture as a lesson for us. And what this pastor wrote in one of his studies was, you know, if God wrote your name in the sky right now, he'd get your attention. And about 3 weeks from now, you'd probably still be telling people that you saw your name in the sky. But after a while, it would have been kind of last year, right? So the point he's making is that even when God takes a direct approach, because we are somewhat inherently oblivious to these things, that it may not have that kind of impact as time goes on, right? So those four things are interesting. Spiritual battle, right? Direct approach doesn't always work. Lots of different ways to explain things. You know, there are a lot of headwinds for us to see God, obviously, in our lives. But there is a way to walk through that and pray through that. So what's the antidote? A.W. Tozer, another great preacher, a British preacher, said, you can see God from anywhere if your mind is set to love and obey him. So you remember the Venn diagram, the two circles, which said that basically God is transcendent above us, but immanent and is with us. Very simple expression of omnipresence. And this is the key to actually experiencing God's omnipresence. And that is, hey, you can see God from anywhere if your mind is set to love and obey him. Right? That's a guiding principle for us in our lives. And there was another blog that I found, really great writer, Christian writer, who said, God's omnipresence means he sees us, remember God sees us, that's in Proverbs, knows us, is with us, and will never leave us. By the way, I don't know anybody in my life, really, that's been proven that that's the case. That this is where God is transcendent above man. It's a very practical truth because the greater our awareness of his presence, the more we live with a healthy fear of the Lord. We think twice before giving in to temptation, knowing our sins are not secret. We learn to go through our day with God, abiding in him moment by moment. We find it a natural thing to pray constantly, as in 1 Thessalonians, because he is always right there with us. And I think it's a great expression of just going backwards into this message from Tozer, which is, you can see God from anywhere if your mind is set to love and obey him. And beyond her expansion on that, look, go back to Scripture. And in our triune God, there's Scripture that shows that this is the case across Father, Son, and Spirit. So in Isaiah it says, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, right? That's about turning your heart over to God so that maybe we're a little less oblivious and he's a little bit more obvious to us. And the Son in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Same message, right? First in Isaiah in Old Testament. Now Jesus saying, hey, you have a responsibility to share the good news, because you know what? Through the good news, you experience me, and then I am with you always, all places, all times. And then for the Holy Spirit in Romans, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, right? And then that scripture goes a little further to actually make some separations there, saying, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ, right? That part often gets sort of taken out of there, but it's an important part. So across Father, Son, and Spirit, here's the evidence. Press into God. He shows up more often. It's just kind of a fact. He's omnipresent. He's there. It's just a question of, is your heart prepared to see him and to see his obviousness? I just leave you with something from one of those blogs that I think sums up what God's message is for us, and that is, I am with you always. And an omnipresent God is with us always. And the question is, are we going to live a life that sees him, seeks him, loves him, in which his presence is far more obvious to us? Or are we kind of wrapped up in the spiritual warfare, or waiting for the car to start when I didn't think it would, and then that story fades away? Or are we getting direct messages from God and we don't even know that they're there, right? And that's all about preparing our hearts, because he says, I am with you always, in all places, at all times, and you need to obey and tune your hearts to me, and it will be profoundly obvious to you. So let's pray about that. Lord, we know you're here. We know you're everywhere, Lord, and we know you're everywhere at all times. Lord, that means that you surround us. You love us, you guide us, you provide for us, you shower us with your grace. And Lord, we know that in your presence as we live, we need to tune our hearts to you to better understand and see your will and your manifestation in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are an omnipresent God, and we thank you that we are able to live knowing and having the confidence that you walk with us always. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.